Hey guys, thank you so much for listening and for supporting me through this, my podcast journey. This episode is going to be done mostly by my friend. Her name is Omaima. She's in Canada. She is going to be talking to us about insecurities from unemployment, so the effects that nobody really talks about. I know I touched about it a little bit on the first episode when I was telling you my life story. But yeah, so someone else will tell you their own experience. Because I remember I said that I wasn't the only one that was going through this. I had friends. She's one of the people that is also going through it. So she's going to tell you, give you the rundown. So hers is unemployment and underemployment. Similar to most people, because at some point you got to take a job to live. So she's going to tell you her story. And then again, please remember to rate, comment, share, like, repost, everything that you can do with the podcast. I have no idea. We are on Apple, we are on Spotify, we're on Google, we're on Breaker, Overcast, and some other ones that I really don't remember. Obviously you can also listen to us on the web. Listen to me on the web. So I hope you enjoy. Bye.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Let Me Live. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about insecurities. So pretty much insecurities that people face during unemployment. If you've ever been unemployed, or if you're unemployed, I'm pretty sure you know the struggle oh so well. I've been unemployed for a while, so I know the struggle so well. So yeah, we're just going to be talking about insecurities of not being able to find a job, feeling like you're not capable enough to find a job, wondering why companies don't want to hire you when you know that you're competent enough to do your job, wondering if you'll ever find the right job that you want. If you're going through this, I just want you to know that it's not your fault. You will find the job that you want. Everyone's timing is different. Now is not your time. So at the right time, you'll definitely find the right job. Okay, so where do I start? So I think I'm going to take you guys back to 2016. So in 2016, that's when I actually graduated from university. So I've just finished university. I graduated with my economics degree. So I'm there thinking like, I mean, I graduated with an economics degree. It shouldn't be that hard to find a job, right? Nope. That was not the case. Like every graduate, you think that, oh yeah, I finished school. They said I needed to go to school. My parents hounded it in my brain to go to school. They told me, graduate. Once you're done school, you're going to find an amazing job. You're going to start making so much money and your life is set. But nope, that didn't happen. So I graduated from university. I had to wait about 4 months before I actually found a job. Was it 4 months? I can't even remember, but I think I waited a couple months before I found a job. I think it was 2 months. So I found this call center job. It was customer service. So I had to start working there and I absolutely hated the job. I hated the job. I had to talk to customers on the phone and I hate talking to people. So that was not that was not the job for me. And the worst part was that people had issues with had so much complaints and they'd always call in and they were never happy and they were always yelling on the phone. So I hated it. So that was a really hard time for me. I stayed there for like 7 months. So God being so good, I found a job after 7 months, and at that time I actually thought it was the best job for me. I thought it was the right job. Obviously, before you start a job, you're always thinking, am I going to like the job? Are they going to like me? Am I going to be able to do the job properly? Mind you, this was not the job that I wanted to do, simply because I wanted to be a financial analyst. I studied economics and I did a bit of finance. I wanted to go into finance actually, so this job was not really exactly the job I wanted. Even though it did have like an auditing and finance background, it was just not the job for me. So I stayed there. I stayed there for 1 year. I had to do it because I needed to get my permanent residency. And in Canada, you have to you're required to do a specific job for a year and then apply for your permanent residency. So that's what I did. And at the time when I was there, I was just not happy at that job. I didn't really like the job, so yeah, I made the decision to quit. And I know a lot of people will be like, why did you quit before finding another job when you didn't have another job in line? But to be honest, my mental health comes first, and I don't regret the decision I made, but yeah, I quit the job, and oh god, that was the beginning of a long struggle. Like, I didn't know what was about to hit me, but what came after was really hard.
So there I was, unemployed. I had quit this job. I didn't know what the hell my next plan was. So I was just there. I'm like, oh my god, what do I do? I was panicking. I started applying for jobs like crazy. And about a month later, I found another job, which was call center. And to be honest, I didn't want to work in a call center, but that was my only option. I had bills to pay. I had to pay my rent. I had to eat. So I didn't really have an option. So I decided to work in a call center. So I was in that call center for 3 months, and I hated it. Like I mentioned, I hate call centers. I was also applying for other jobs. Obviously, I was applying for jobs like crazy. I went for interviews, but it was really hard because I was working and at the same time I had to go for interviews. And if you know call centers, they don't really like you missing even a day of work. So it was really hard for me to go for interviews. So yes, so I was in this call center for like 3 months. Again, here I was having customers yell at me, screaming at me. And I noticed at that point, I started becoming very angry. I started becoming very anxious. I was so irritable. I was so irritated. It was just not the job for me. So I quit. I quit the job, and here I was feeling very frustrated. I was beginning to think that I made a mistake. I was beginning to feel very insecure. Here I am at the age of 27. I felt like I'd gone back like 20 steps backwards in my life. You think that at the age of 27, you're supposed to be set up. You're not supposed to be doing entry-level jobs. I mean, going from a finance and auditing job to going back to call center again, I felt I was starting my life all over again, and it really, really hurt me. I saw my friends going, like friends, so many people were going ahead in life, and I started to compare myself to people. And like I say, never compare yourself to people. All it does is decrease your self-esteem. So at that point, I had like absolutely zero self-esteem. I was miserable. I was upset. Even on my birthday, I remember my birthday that just passed, I was really upset. I was so sad. I couldn't even enjoy my birthday because I was broke, no money, very feeling very demotivated, Yeah, it was really hard for me. It was a really hard time for me, especially on my self-esteem, my self-worth. I didn't even know what I wanted to do. I didn't even know if I wanted to continue pursuing becoming a financial analyst. Things were just getting hard for me, and I just wanted to die, to be honest. And this is where depression creeps in. This is where suicidal thoughts creep in. Yeah, and I was living alone, so it wasn't the best condition for me at that time. I was really super depressed. I didn't even know who to talk to. I tried talking to friends and family, but people didn't understand what I was going through. So it made it very, very difficult and very hard. I felt so alone. The only thing that got me by was praying to God really helped me. But other than that, I didn't know what to do.
So again, I had to start applying to jobs, and I'm sure you know, finding a job is not that easy. So again, I ended up in another call center for the third time, and at this point, I really didn't know what to do at this point. So my goal was to stay at this call center, and I promised myself that I'm going to stay here and this will be my last call center, and I'm never going to work in a call center. I'm just going to stick around till I find another job that I really like. So, I mean, I was at this call center, I was there for 3 months, and their job requirements would, I mean, their what they wanted from their employees, their expectations was very high. They wanted a really high average for quality assurance, which is QA. And so I was there, and after 3 months, my manager just came to me and told me that, you know what, Omaima, we're sorry, we're going to have to let you go because your performance is not the best. It's below what we actually want from our employees. And at that point, I felt so insulted because, I mean, working in a call center is not that hard. Call centers usually never fire people. When they fire you, it means that, I mean, you must have done something really, really bad for them to fire you, because they're always looking for people. So at that point, I felt insulted, I felt humiliated. I'm like, what the heck? Why are they firing me, actually? Because it's not that hard, right? I mean, it shouldn't be that hard to find a job. So at this point, not only was I down, not only was I thinking about finding a job, my concern was keeping a job. At this time, my self-esteem again, it took a plunge. I'm here thinking, oh my God, not only am I not good enough to find a job, am I good enough to actually keep a job? That's what a lot of people don't understand. Usually, unemployment, people always think, oh, I have to find a job, I have to find a job, but they tend to forget that the first 3 months is a probationary period and companies can let you go at any time. So even though you're employed, you're in quotes unemployed, because you don't know what can happen in those 3 months. So this really affected me again, like my self-esteem took a plunge and I was feeling very demotivated. So at this point, it had been almost a year since I found a job, I mean a proper job. At this point, it had been almost a year and I still hadn't found anything in finance or anything that I actually wanted to do. I mean, I was searching for junior financial analyst roles and everything, but I still couldn't find a job in that field because I still didn't have my CFA, my chartered financial analyst level one degree. I still hadn't gotten that, so I couldn't find a job in that field. And at this point, I had lost concentration. I had stopped studying for the CFA, simply because I was actually focusing more on finding a proper job, something that's better than customer service. So I had lost focus on studying for the Chartered Financial Analyst program. But I did actually eventually go and write the exam. I was still studying, even though I wasn't studying 100%. I was still studying, and I actually still went and wrote the exam. So yes, as I was saying, it had been almost a year. I still hadn't found a job, a proper job that I actually wanted to do. So again, I was applying for jobs, and I found another job. So, I mean, thankfully it was better than a call center. So it was another job, it was an operations assistant job. I'm like, okay, yeah, this is going to be something that will be a little bit longer term. Before I started the job, I don't know, I was just so nervous, I was so scared. I didn't know what to expect. I'm like, are they going to like me? Am I going to like the environment? Am I going to like the job? Is the job going to be hard? Am I going to be able to perform at the job? You know, all these questions running through my head. And on my first day, I went there, I was in such a positive mood. I was smiling, I was happy. And I went there, and the owner of the company, my manager, he was a complete ass. He was a pain to deal with. He was just yelling at me, and I'm just there thinking, I'm like, this is my first day, like, why am I being yelled at? Why am I being told that I'm not good at this job? Like, he was just yelling. He had such high expectations. He gave me a lot of work to do on my first day, and he expected me to complete the task by the end of the day. He expected me to complete everything by the end of the day. So he went out, he left me alone to do the job. There was no one there, and I didn't know who to talk to, because I mean, my manager wasn't there. The other girl that was also there had left for the day. So I'm just there, and I'm trying to figure out how to do the job. I tried calling him because I didn't understand some things, and he tried explaining it to me over the phone. But it's still not the same as him actually being there in person to explain and to actually train you. So when he came back, he asked me, he's like, are you done what I told you to do? And I tried to explain to him, I'm like, this is my first day. I'm going to be really slow because it's my first day. I don't really understand what I'm doing. And he was upset. He yelled at me. He's like, I thought you said you were a fast learner. You can't do the job. You know what? Just leave. And mind you, I was supposed to leave at 5 p.m. He kicked me out of the office at 4 p.m. and told me to leave. And at this point, I was super angry. I was super mad. I texted my friend. I'm like, you know what? I think I'm going to quit this job. Like, F this job. I was so upset. My friend was like, no, don't quit. Don't quit. Like, stick around. You really need the money. Just stay. Just stay. So I'm like, okay, fine. So I went into the job the second day. I was feeling a little bit more optimistic about the job. So I went there, and I'm like, okay, what do I do? My manager, the owner of the company, told me to speak to the lady who was there, my other colleague. And she was telling me, well, I don't have anything to train you on. I don't have any duties for you to do today. So she told me that she was going to call my manager to ask him what exactly the plan was and what to train me on. So she talked to him over the phone, and after she was done talking to him, she came back to me and she told me that, okay, so my manager said that he's thinking of whether to terminate me or to let me go, because the first day of the job, I didn't know what I was doing. She told me that on the first day of the job, I didn't do a good job because I didn't perform like he would expect me to perform. And that really hit me. She tried to explain to me that it's not your fault. It's a reflection on the company. It's not a reflection on you. But that upset me regardless, because I'm thinking, I'm like, I know it's my first day, and I know I shouldn't be performing exceptionally, but is there actually something wrong with me? Did I do that much of a bad job on my first day? Like, I know I tried, I know I was being positive, I know I was asking questions, doing my best, trying my best to get the job done as good as I could, but I mean, it wasn't good enough. And here again, I was feeling like total shit. Like, oh my god, again, I can't keep a job. Thrown off. So yeah, guys, that's the end of my story. I just want you to know, if you're going through a similar situation, if you're unemployed, if you're finding it hard to find a job, don't give up. Things are going to get easy. It gets easier after the hard times. Everything will be fine. Just know that it's not your season. Everything happens in seasons. And trust me, when your time comes, you're going to have blessings upon blessings. So stay strong, stay positive. Don't give up. Don't dwell in negativities, because if you continue to dwell in negativity, you're going to be stuck at that place that you are. Speak things into existence. Whatever you say on yourself, if you tell yourself that you're not going to find a job, you won't find a job. The power of the mouth is very strong. You don't know what your tongue is capable of. You don't know the power of your tongue. So speak positive things into existence. Not only does it make things happen for you, it also puts you in a positive mood, because you're always positive and you always have a positive mind and your mind is clearer and you're able to find solutions and solve your problems even better. Okay, so don't remain in your negativity, don't dwell in your negativity. So yeah, guys, we've come to the end of this podcast. Thank you so much for listening, and stay tuned for the next episode of Let Me Live.
Hi guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode. You know, like, you could tell throughout the whole episode she was working. She was working hard to get the jobs and whatnot. She wasn't just sitting down. What she failed to mention is that she's working towards getting her CFA, as well as applying for jobs and whatnot. Sometimes she had to take call center jobs. Now, there's nothing wrong with call center jobs. The way we're talking about it, you may think that there's something wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with it. However, when you have a university degree and you're in that job for a long period of time, and that's not what you want to do, it's very demoralizing, because it doesn't require a lot of skills. It really doesn't. However, if the skills are not in your skill set, it's really hard. So it requires to be a very personable person. So someone who's always cheerful no matter what, because you have to talk to people, you know. You have to be able to calm people down, you know. And sometimes you're working in an environment where they don't give you a lot of room to please the customer. So you have to let the customer down in a way that doesn't offend them. That can be very tricky when you're not someone who's very patient, or those kind of things just don't come naturally to you. It's something really hard, and it's something you have to work at. So while we're not diminishing the call center jobs, it's just like, it's minimum wage. You went to university to get a degree, so you will not earn minimum wage. You know, living on minimum wage is not easy. So just don't think that if you're working in the call center, don't think that, oh, we're diminishing your job or anything like that. It's just not what we want to do. That's why we, you know, talk about it the way we do. So the important thing is, like, just keep working at it. Obviously, for her living alone, you know, because when you're alone, you get to think a lot about everything that's going on in your life. And if it's quiet, then your brain just really starts going by itself, and you now realize everything. And it could be really saddening when you just think about your life sometimes, and you realize that you're not where you want to be. And it's very disappointing as well, because it's not like you're not trying, it's just that things aren't working out. And it could be very tempting to think that it's your fault. However, it's not always your fault. You know, there are things that you can do to get better. Obviously, you do the things that you need to do. You get the education, you try to get the skills, the interview skills, you practice for interviews and all that good stuff. However, sometimes even like your best efforts is not good enough, and that's just the way life is. Then, you know, there's always going to be someone better than you at convincing them. Because to me, I see interviews as a convincing game. It's who can convince me best that they're good at that, they're the right person for this job. So you could have made the argument as best as you possibly could. Somebody just comes and makes an argument that's better than yours. It doesn't mean that you're not going to be good at the job. It just means that someone made a more convincing argument. And, you know, don't beat yourself up about it. Obviously, keep trying to improve your interview skills and whatnot. And when the job that is for you gets to you, you will get the job. So like I told you in my own story, I did get a job. I just couldn't take it because of Canada and their immigration issue thingies. Immigration policies, rather, not issues, immigration policies. You know, it's what it is. I'm not upset or bitter or whatever. At that point, I was really done. When it wasn't going to happen, I was like, done here. There's no point in forcing things that are just not working, you know. There's no point. And it's not worth it. Dwelling on a particular issue really isn't worth it. So, yeah. Just, you know, all it takes is one day for your life to change. And that is the truth. Well, this is the end of this episode. Thank you so much for tuning in, for listening. Remember, once again, like, review, rate, share, subscribe, do everything. And I'll see you next time. Bye. Okay, just one last thing. So Omaima has her own podcast. It's called Life As We Know It. It's available on Podbean. So like pod, like podcast and then bean. So it's one word. So Podbean. It's more about mental health struggles that we go through on a daily basis, how it affects us, and she kind of gives you some tips on how to deal with it and stuff. So check it out.